Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What?
Your what have, you know, last couple episodes have been, it's been a bit delayed.
Has it? I'm trying to figure that out.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to decide what to do. I almost did a yeehaw there.
It's funny. Well, now that you live out in the country, maybe you should do a yeehaw.
I do.
All right. Well, we have been on probably the longest, I don't even know if we can call this a mini series anymore, because we have been talking about new systems for a post-COVID church for a long time, because there are a lot of systems that go on in the church, and let alone the 7S framework, the 7-system framework within Leadership Pipeline, but then you have all the other aspects in and around in the system. So you can go back to all the even numbered episodes over the last, I don't know how long we've been doing this now, maybe at least 10 episodes. You can go back. The even ones are between Todd and I, the odd ones are between Ed and I.
You could say that.
And when I said that to Ed, he was like, wait, what are you trying to say? So on today's episode, we are going to be talking about leadership succession. Okay, the system for leadership succession. And one thing that has been said on this podcast before, and I believe Vander Blumen said it at our pipeline conference 2 years ago when we did one on succession. What did he say? Every pastor is an interim pastor.
Yeah. <laughs> Right.
So whether you're a church planter or a, you know, senior pastor for 30 years and you're trying to figure out how to do multiplication and what succession looks like and all that stuff, every pastor will at one point need to think about succession. So that's really what we want to talk about today, how to create a system and prepare your church for leadership succession, whether it's a year away or 30 years away.
Are we just talking about the top, or are we talking about succession at every level? Because, you know, when we did talk about pipeline, we're saying, hey, it's not about the succession at the of the senior pastor, but the same is true for every children's director. Every children's director is an interim children's director. Every parking guy is an interim parking guy, and eventually there'll be someone else there. And so
So why don't we start there? Yeah. Why don't we start there? Just that whole, how do we create a culture of succession within our church?
I mean, gosh, it really does go back to that 7S framework that we've talked about so many times. It is the story, and that really is the foundational purpose for your church and its story and the old story and how those things connect. But also think about the stories that you're telling on stage and what you're celebrating. We have to celebrate succession if we want it embedded into the culture. We can't just celebrate the person that is leaving. That is great, but we don't need to celebrate them for what they've done. Just as much, we need to celebrate them for who they've developed. So we're so sad to see this person go, but look, we're standing right next to them. Are the people that they've developed. And these are the people that are going to, you know, carry on. So I think so many times we end up celebrating the wrong things. It's the person who, you know, worked so many hours, or the person who has been here for so many years. And yes, we should celebrate that. We should celebrate the heroic things that they've done. But we have to remember, the greatest thing that they can do in the kingdom, the most strategic, the most sacred, is reproduction of themselves. So once they move from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and figure out Ephesians 2, 10, that they're God's workmanship and he's got things for them to do, their greatest gift to the body is not just what they do, it's who they are developing. And so that culture of succession has to permeate, and we can't just think about it as a top level thing. And it has to be owned by everyone. And the only way to do that, in my opinion, is to get clarity around some of the other S's, like your systems and skills that you're training on, and even how we select those successors. All those things are super important. The clearer you are on those, the more natural it's going to seem. Because I know when people hear about this, they think, oh, well, you sound like you're running a business or you're making widgets. And I'm like, no, the clearer you are on these things, the more natural it will become, because it'll be part of your culture.
Yeah. Now, you talked about story, and I guess what sorts of things, how do we get there? Right. Cause I know we, you know, you talked about Ephesians 2:8-9 to Ephesians 2:10, and then Ephesians 4, and we see that equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And then you got 2 Timothy 2:2, and, you know, passing it on to the next generation. And, you know, all these, you have the biblical, and then Moses and Jethro. I mean, you got the biblical case, so you can obviously preach it, but how do you celebrate it? You know what I'm talking about? Like, because yeah. Part of it is, yeah, you need to have the conviction, right? And you need the culture, you need the constructs. But part of it is like, part of the culture building is the celebration. But so do you celebrate when someone...
Every culture is based on stories. I mean, as an American, I know some key, you know, points in America's history. There's, you know, Paul Revere's ride, and... There's so many things that we embed when we tell stories. So it's not just preaching 2 Timothy 2:2. It is trotting out on stage the real world example. And it's not, you know, a story from ripped from the headlines or from history. It is a story that's happened at your church, where you're finding someone who has developed a Timothy, who has developed men who would do likewise. And so you have four generations there. So it's preaching it, but then it's bringing, trotting these people out and telling that story. It is focusing the stories that you tell on the things that you want to embed in culture. And so the staff is going to be tired of hearing some of these stories before they start to make it into the myths and legend of, you know, yeah, FBC. Yeah, for sure. Possum trot. That's the way it's
done, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay, so that's great. And I think there's enough there for our podcast listeners to begin chewing through and thinking through at the succession at every level side of things. But then we have that whole side of senior pastor succession and the crisis that we're in and we're going to be in increasingly, where there are just so many boomers and boomer pastors retiring and not enough Gen X, millennial, and eventually Gen Z pastors to take over at the moment. So I know that's a huge conversation, and we're not talking about this from the pipeline level of what our institutions doing and seminaries and denominations and networks and all that stuff. I'm talking about it from a local church level. How does a local church, for the church planter and the senior leader and the senior pastor is listening in, like, what positions would you say are the ones that hold the most potential for developing future senior pastors? Because I know, like, for example, you got a company, mom and pop shops or large multinational companies that will often say, hey, if you want to gun it for the top position, then you need to have experience everywhere throughout the organization and starting on the line and going here and going this and doing. And I mean, would you say that that's the same way? Like, for a 20-something-year-old right now listening in, is the best way, and if they, and they feel a calling to be a senior pastor one day, is the best way for them to prepare just by getting experience in all these different ministry areas? Or is it focusing more on one or the other? What are your thoughts around that?
I mean, traditionally, you've seen most of those guys go through a student pastor position or two. Sometimes you'll see them go into an associate or, you know, what used to be minister of ed or discipleship role. and go in there. But I mean, you know, those are the two I think that are most obvious. But anybody, I think, is, you know, up for who's biblically qualified. Is up for grabs. Yeah. I don't care what position they're in. It's you seeing that in somebody and then having a good understanding of what competencies are needed. The other piece is not trying to, you know, you don't necessarily need the same archetype of person to take over either. So, you know, I've seen plenty of failed successions because the senior guy was trying to turn the successor into a mini me version of himself. And, you know, it's just, of course they're not going to be you. And especially if,
it's true.
If they're going to lead well, they're not going to conform. So you're going to get, you know, kind of a milquetoast guy, in place, I think, if you go that route and it's not going to go well.
That's super helpful. Hey, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today and we will get right back into it. No matter how many people you have on staff at your church, there's only so much you can accomplish in a day, right? Your church exists to serve your community, so the mission of your church and its staff is to reach as many people as you can. That's why productivity is essential for churches, as most of your church's success lies in its ability to lean into and leverage resources for optimum performance. And thankfully, our friends at Belay know this well. Belay, an innovative staffing solution with over 10 years of experience serving churches, has successfully matched thousands of organizations with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. That's why they're offering our listeners a free download of their resource, Church Leaders: Essential Strategies to Unleash Productivity. Let Belay help your church live its mission in your community by helping you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, that's B-E-L-A-Y solutions.com/Lifeway for your free download. Now back to the episode. Yeah. See, what you said just a little bit earlier, and I don't know if our listeners caught this, and we've talked about this quite a bit on this podcast over 586 episodes. I'm sure there's been at least 15-20% of them where we've talked about this side because it's so important. You use that word competency, right? And that has been the foundation of the consulting and coaching that we've done, right? In terms of leadership pipeline. And it is that idea of how do you make sure that from volunteers to senior leaders, there's a set of core competencies that are different at every level of the pipeline, but there's a tangible set of core competencies where if you want to be a senior pastor one day, or if you talking to an usher, if you want to be a lead usher, not just an usher, but a lead usher or the lead of whatever at this level, that, hey, this is what is required. And to actually have that spelt out and to have a development plan toward that is so, so, so important, so that it's not even like, you know what, the golden spot, the golden place for you to be if you want to be the next lead pastor of this church is here. I mean, that's going to be, it's impossible, right? I mean, it's going to be different in every church, and there's, I mean, it's just, it's so like you can't find that position. There's no golden position like that. Although what you said earlier about being a student pastor or discipleship or minister of ed, I mean, those are traditionally ones where there's good prep that happens. But having said that, what's even more transferable than that is making sure that you have competencies set out. And we'll make sure to post that course on Ministry Grid in the show notes, because that competency chart is there, and you'll get a good sense of what we are talking about when we talk about competencies.
I really do feel like this is an important conversation to have, because if you don't have those core competencies, again, you are going to make decisions based on emotion. You're going to make decisions based on what the person has accomplished or not accomplished, what they've really succeeded at or failed at in the last 6 months. It's almost impossible to look at it objectively without some type of framework or competencies built in. So I think it's really wise.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. Well, thank you so much for listening into today's episode. If you have future topics that you would love for us to cover, be sure to go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can hit the just hit the record button. Send that in if you're on your mobile device or if you're on your computer. A better place to go is newchurches.com and you can hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail and we will get that and be able to help you with where you're at. Well, thanks again so much for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.